this child sexual abuse scandal is just, I can't see how Sir Keir Starmer can last much longer as Prime Minister. But when he does speak, he says, oh, you know, people are jumping on the bandwagon of the far right. First of all, what far right? Second of all, it's not a far right bandwagon to think you want to protect young, vulnerable girls. That's disgusting of you to imply it is.
It took me back to Question Time, and I went back to YouTube, and it was almost the first point I made was the rape gangs. But what did they get upset about me for? Meghan fucking Markle.
I know.
Welcome to another episode. To the annual, what's it called? The
season premiere?
The what?
The season premiere?
The season premiere! We've done one season.
Well, not mine.
Well, I've forgotten about that. Well,
how many series did you have?
Of Lewis?
Yeah.
9 or 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That is a lot.
In fact, I quit Lewis. Well, we all quit Lewis, really. But when a Dutch journalist came to interview me and said, so, you're 37 years old. You've been doing this for 10 years now. It's more than a quarter of your life. And wow. I went, I'm leaving.
You had an existential crisis.
And look what good it did me. But anyway, we finished season one, which was actually, it's not season, because seasons are so short. We finished year one.
We did.
So this is year two. And I hope we're going to mix it up even worse.
I'm excited about year two. Year one was a lot of experimenting. Year two, we kind of know what we're doing a little bit now.
I think I quite liked year one with the envelopes. I was
the
a big envelope fan
were
of
good,
the envelope.
Yeah.
The envelopes were good.
But Theon's back.
Don't say it out loud.
Oh.
Theon likes to live in the shadows.
Okay. Jeffrey.
But actually, yeah, my friend Jeffrey, but I'm actually wearing a Theon product here.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And his thing is RMNT. And I tell you what, the quality of this hoodie in London's brisk and cold temperatures has held me together this week. So I'm pretty chuffed about it.
Well, Theon 71, I'm in the cold and brisk in Michigan right now, and it's snowing outside as we speak.
So Theon, send him one saying white supremacist on it. Or far right, or right so far.
But you're out of practice. What you should be saying is, I am the fox, and he is.
Oh, yeah, hang on. Welcome to the first episode of season two of Fox and Father with me, the fox, and him,
the father.
It's where Calvin tries and fails to tutor me in the ways of righteousness. But
I think
I'd
be very
there.
Successful.
I have to say, I think, like, I can tell how successful you are by the more people warn me off you. The more people are like, Calvin's gone a bit weird, hasn't he? And I'm like, yes, and we like that. when you say the word weird, I hear the word truthful. How are you doing? I hear you just got cancelled from something else.
Oh, what, goodness. I've had like a whole... This whole year so far has been full of this. Firstly, I was invited to speak at an event on Trash World, which is what we would call the culture wars, right? It's an event of Christian nationalists across different denominations, speaking about how we can fight the good fight together to beat wokeism and Islam and all the threats to Christendom at the moment. But it's mostly headed up by Reformed Protestants. I didn't have an issue with that. I'm happy to work with any Christians. I always have. My ministry is quite ecumenical. However, some of the people going to the conference, or even some of the people not even going to the conference, some of the people commentating on the conference were like, how can you invite that Calvin Robinson? He worships Mary. He prays the rosary. Is that okay? First and foremost, I don't worship Mary. Yes, I do pray the rosary. But I'm happy to talk to you about why that is historically Christian and this and that. But the attacks were like, bow, bow, bow. And I was like, what, where is this coming from? I don't understand. Yes, I do see Martin Luther and John Calvin as heretics. This is what the church teaches. This isn't my opinion. I just go with whatever the church teaches. And surely from your perspective, you would see me as a heretic. But as long as we are baptized in water and the Spirit, and as long as we repent of our sins, have faith in Jesus Christ, we are all Christians. We have massive disagreements. We think each other are in error, but our common ground, our commonality is Jesus Christ and wanting to fight this spiritual warfare for good. But anyway, some of the Reformed lot are, some of them are very good people, but some of them are very serious and very lacking the joy of the Christian faith. And so they targeted me for this event. This was just the first event. Then I was invited to another event. And this second event...
You got double cancelled.
I haven't been cancelled from the first one yet. The organizers of the first one... he's a guy called Joel Webben, and he's very strong. And he's like, I'm not going to let these guys push me around. He's like, yes, they're on my side. However, I invited you because you are strong on this too. And we disagree on many things, but we're not here to talk about those things we disagree with. We're here to talk about the things we agree with. I'm like, yes, thank you. However, all this is piling up at the same time as Joel Webben has a lot of people that hate him, including this guy called James White, who goes by Whitebeard on Twitter, who has made a whole series, like a week long or maybe 2 weeks long, just targeting me, like Calvin Robinson and this other guy called Anthony, who's a friend of mine, who's a Roman Catholic. These people, they're wrong on this, that, and the other. It's like, you're milking us for content. You're vapid. It's disgusting. It's backbiting. It's gossip. It's not Christian. Anyway, all this is going, yeah, that guy, all this is going on at the same time as, and I believe he's helped people in the faith over the years, but in latter years, he's just gone absurd. All this is going on at the same time as I got invited to another event. Now, this second event, they had conversations with me before it was even an event. They knew who I was because I've spoken with many of them at different conferences. They know my theology is Catholic. It's not hard to know, right? It's in my bio. It's on my Wikipedia. It's on my website. It's on everything that I tweet. I'm very Catholic in my theology. I do not hide that. And so they had a conversation, said, look, we want to hold an event called Clear Truth, and we want to put forward the clear truth. We want to help Christians navigate this culture war that we're in. I'm like, yeah, great. I'm happy to be part of it. No worries. I did not apply. I didn't ask to be invited. I was encouraged and invited from the beginning. Now, after all this Twitter hoo-ha around the first event, the organizers of the second event gave me a call and said, I've got to seek your forgiveness. I've got to rescind my invitation. I'm like, well, why? They're like, oh, well, we did. This is mostly for Protestant evangelicals, and it seems you're not really. I'm like, I've never been evangelical Protestant. That nothing has changed since the moment you invited me to now. What's really going on? Like, tell me the truth. You run a company called Clear Truth Media. Give me the clear truth. Stop treading on eggshells. And this was a nice guy. But like, is this because of the Twitter spats that have been going on? He's like, yeah, people have been sending me things. I'm like, that's weak. I'm sorry, but that's weak. Like, if you're going to hold an event to encourage Christians to be strong and masculine in this culture war, this spiritual war, then stick to your guns and either invite a Catholic or don't invite a Catholic or an Anglo-Catholic, old Catholic, whatever. But don't invite me. And then the moment you get leaned on, buckle. That's weak. It's feeble. Anyway, so I got disinvited from the second event. And these Reformed Protestants, some of the vocal Reformed Protestants have been attacking left, right, and center. And it's like, I don't know what your entire identity is being anti-Catholic, but all Christians are called to be Catholic in the small c universal sense. Like the whole point of the Reformation, I'm sorry, I'm babbling here, but the whole point of the Reformation was to reform the Catholic Church. It wasn't to start a new church. So anyone that believes that they are an exclusive church and that Catholics are not saved and Catholics are not Christians, even though they, on one hand they say all you have to do is have faith to be Christian, but on the other hand, Catholics aren't Christian. Those people, I worry about them because their pride is getting in the way, and I don't see how they can possibly be in the church.
And also, look how fragile and bullshit it all is. Because I remember, and I worked in Belfast several times as an actor, and I'd drive down the streets down the Falls Road and various, and you'd see the pictures of the guys with AK-47s and stuff. These two peoples, the Unionists and Sinn Féin and various, they were arguing over Catholic and Protestant, but now they're all pro-Hamas.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's all bollocks as far as I'm concerned. And also, I am 100% on side with you when it comes to the idea of someone being cancelled because they get a tweet, a little meany tweet or an email saying, oh, it's like, sorry, but 2025 has to be the year. And I've been saying this to the people that listen to me, who they do in private, but none of them, like, I've been saying it's got to be the end of cancel culture. It's got to go. And it's got to be the era of free speech. You know,
if we can't battle together, if we can't come together despite our differences, then we deserve to lose.
We do. I agree.
The point.
100%. I agree with you.
Anyone that's baptized, I see as a Christian. Anyone that's baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity, I see as a Christian. If they can't see me as a Christian too, if they can't see me as a Christian, then their problem is their problem, not mine. That's what I'm leaving it at that, basically.
Yeah, but that's what I mean by the cancel culture thing. It's like, get rid of cancel culture.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how one would instantiate this in like societal norm, but anyone who doesn't like what someone else has to say should have to state a case. Like it says in the Bible, he who states his case first seems right until another comes to examine him. It's like we have to have that or nothing is going to change. And all we'll get is we'll swap like Labour pedo party for right-wing pedo party.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they just won't do as much pedoing, but it'll be the same cancel culture wank that we've watched. Sorry, I know. Sorry.
Well, I want to also say while we're on this topic that there are many good Reformed Protestants. I love my Christian brothers across all denominations, and yes, we have massive disagreements, but it's that camp in particular with the Puritanist or purist kind of, they had these purity spirals. They have this term called brother wars. I'd never heard of brother wars until I came over here and was introduced to some of these. I mean, they hate each other. They hate themselves, never mind everyone else. And so they're constantly battling.
What are brother wars? That sounds amazing. What are brother wars? I want to be part of brother wars. Sounds like a prescribed extreme right-wing terror organization.
It's just tiresome. So going forward, I'm no longer accepting invitations to speak at events that are majority Reformed Protestant. I wish them all the best in their attempts to do whatever they think they're doing, but if they're going to do it on their own, they're going to do it on their own. I'm not going to keep being invited and take abuse for being invited and get cancelled for being invited. It's not worth my time. Like, I give my time charitably. Sometimes they don't even offer me an honorarium. I don't charge a fee. I don't have a massive fee or anything like that. I just go in Christian charity. And if this is what I'm going to get in return, I'm not even going to bother. So unless I will only accept invitations now from churches that are apostolic and sacramental and share a core commonality with historic Christianity.
Father Calvin is basically saying, if this town needs a new sheriff, that's fine, but don't come to me with your petty problems. I will clean up this town. But there's gonna be Father Calvin with the sword for the film we still haven't made, with the sword with the cross, and I'm thinking now, just to update some of your costume, obviously the long sort of vestments that you get in the higher end echelons of the Anglican thing, but also probably some revolvers.
Absolutely, the moment I'm allowed to. I need to come to your news at some point, but in other news. I have my visa. I am a legal non-immigrant of the United States.
I'm sad about that. Don't make me cheer that.
I'm allowed to live and work here. I'm not allowed to own a gun yet. I need to work up to the next stage of that process. But when I am allowed, I will have my cassock. I will have my revolvers.
You danced with Trump. We, between us, will have enough people in our email lists to get you to Magnum 44s, but old style. We'll have that. I definitely reckon with a few emails, you can be fully tanked up with some 44 Magnums.
Let's make that happen. Lawrence, how are you? What's happened in your life?
I don't know. When did we last speak? I mean, like professionally. Not professionally, but like publicly.
On camera, just before Christmas.
Right, so Christmas was lovely.
Good.
It was amazing. We, as you well know, because you do, there is a vast disparity in opinions and views on almost all topics in my family, which I think is great. I've always liked that.
There are stronger debates than other times.
Yeah. There's one member of my family who's just totally opted out now and won't engage at all, but the rest, I got a very long, like, impassioned, it was lovely, 20 people, you know, all the kids, Lizzie's kids were there, you know, it was all kind of, it was new for the kids, and it was good. And then, you know, I got a very impassioned Israel chat from one of my family, and it's like, you know, when people are very passionate about something, they're very passionate about it. And I've started to think that if someone's very passionate about something, listen. Don't, like, be passionate in return. Me, 5 years ago, before I before the changes that happened in my life, would have been passionate back. But actually, I just thought, just listen to what they're saying, and then try and bring the conversation back to first principles. Like, do I have the right to an opinion which is not in agreement with yours and stuff like that? Do you know what I mean? So it was really good. And actually, everyone
wise
held it together beautifully. My amazing sister and Richard, who have always been actually the anchors in our family in many, many ways. My sister is really wonderful. They both are. Really put on the most amazing day. And there was lots of disagreement and lots of free speaking and lots of passionate disagreement. But there was a sort of tone of going, which I think the world is missing big time, is there was this tone of people going, okay, and you know, the moments when I got very heated about what I wanted to say, and the moments when other people got heated about what they wanted to say, but overwhelmingly, the thing was listening. And I thought that was pretty wise. And then New Year's, you know what I'm like about going to bed at like 10:30, you know, I'm such a sloppy wet.
Well, I was looking forward to coming to yours for New Year's. It's like a tradition now. We sing Angels and send it to Robbie Williams. Like, we have a bit of a laugh and then you go to bed early.
I know. But you were the one that let me down on New Year's this year because you got your visa.
Wait a minute. No, I'm not having that. I am not having that. You said, okay. Oh, I would send your invitation to New Year's because I want to go and I want to go out with the television people. You're welcome to join me. And I was like, I didn't want to go with the old television people. I like a nice, intimate family environment for New Year.
It was very nice and intimate, but yeah, I know you're right. And on reflection, I do apologize for that anyway.
It's all right.
New Year's was good. I mean, I was awake at 3:30 in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
Very, very rare for me.
Was Lizzie awake as well?
Well, Lizzie was driving. So she was, you know, because, you know, trying to get Lizzie to do anything other than drink more than half a glass of red wine is a complete nightmare. So she was driving and I was sat in the car, you know, already beginning my kind of like, I'm going to have a horrible hangover tomorrow.
Said I'll be back home by about 10-ish anyway.
Yeah. Well, it didn't. It was like 3 or something in the morning. So that was lovely. And then...
Good. I'm glad it was good.
New Year started. Decided to go into... Because it happened sort of halfway through a week. And I just thought, you know what? I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to go into zombie land until this Monday where everything just kicked off. And I have been sort of nonstop since Monday, but I'm good. But now that we've filled in everyone on how wonderful our life is... should we?
Do you have a New Year's resolution before we get to?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do have New Year's resolutions. It's the 3 hours a day.
Oh, good.
Which I did today, which was really difficult.
Right.
Really difficult. So I'm now up to 15,000 words. But I've got to, it's the 15,000 words doesn't matter. I've got to provide because there's no point in writing a book. I mean, maybe there is. There's no point in writing a book unless you've got a book deal and, you know, you're actually going to make some money out of it. So you're not worried about all this sort of stuff. So I don't want to write the whole, I'd be happy to write the whole book and I probably will do anyway. But that was my New Year's resolution to write 3 hours a day, which I did today. And it was really hard work because I don't know where to start. It's one of the weirdest things. So I thought I'll start at question time and then I'll get up to now. But obviously you then got to refer to what happened in your life. So I've been doing that. It's been good. I'm paranoid about, I've got to get myself those little like plug-in USB things so that I don't lose the book and people are like, keep it. And there's been positive feedback to it from the man who's hiking my book around, which is good. And then my other New Year's resolution is to not consume alcohol at lunchtime ever, except on Sundays.
So are you going to wait till about 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think you need like a time. I just think, yeah, you know, you just need to know it's not lunch. You're finished. You use your afternoon successfully, and so I've been doing that, and that's been good, except that for poor old Lizzie, I'll randomly go at 8 o'clock at night, which I'd never do in the past. I'm like, I'm just going to pop down the pub. She's like, what? You never go to the pub at 8 o'clock at night. Usually I go to the pub at about six and I'm back at about 6:45. So yeah, those are my two kind of New Year's resolutions. I feel we sort of go up and down in terms of purpose, because it is New Year and you do sort of look at yourself and go, what am I meant to be doing? And weirdly, I got this email from Bear Grylls out of the blue. And I think it may have not been out of the blue. I think it might have been after I slightly, mildly mocked his Christmas message.
Oh, and yeah.
It was a very nice email. And I responded in, it was nice. It was very nice. And it was sort of hopeful. And, you know, so I did that. And it sort of prompted in my head a conversation about, like, well, what am I meant to be doing? And then it brings you onto all this political stuff, which has been happening over Christmas, which has been quite strange, isn't it, for it to happen over Christmas?
Non-stop now. Politics is non-stop.
Is that what your view is? So what do you think if there was a sort of genesis of Elon deciding to nuke British culture? What do you think caused that? Do you think it's good that someone with that much power and reach is able to just suddenly take any story, like from any country, and just go, right, it's the most important story on earth? You know, he's been retweeting you, me, other people. You know, it's like, it's kind of crazy. I think it's, I'm a sort of, it's really good thing.
Yeah. I will listen to that. I just want to say my New Year's resolution is I've been on the carnivore and I've been in the gym every day and it's miserable. All these people are like, oh, you feel so much better. It's like, no, I feel like rubbish. I just want a burger and a milkshake and I want to enjoy my life. But discipline.
Can't you just have the burger without the bun?
It's horrible. Like, I love meat, but without a bit of carbs, it's boring. And for someone that loves food, it's miserable. But I'm sticking to it because it's a discipline up until the inauguration, and then we're going to celebrate at the inauguration. But I can't imagine living this way forever. I can't imagine people that live entirely on the carnivore diet.
I thought you were going to say something wonderful, like, I'm going to stick with it for the whole year, but you're like, nearly the end of the month.
Not all. Life is too short.
I've taken on the carnivore diet and I'm going to stick with it for at least two weeks.
Realistic targets, man.
I know.
But anyway, I'll stick to the gym. I mean, I don't enjoy, but I appreciate the importance of it. But carnivore, no, forget it.
I do the training and I like the training.
I've seen your videos. You do like those sped up kind of time lapses.
Well, I just time lapse it because also I'm not interested in being like The Rock. I just said to the guy, I'm 46 years old. Yeah. I want to be able to move my body.
Yeah.
But for as long as possible. So I don't want to look muscly. I just want to be. And so it's a kind of mix between calisthenics, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know, it's like, it's resistance stuff and it hurts like the next day, but you know, I may never look like Tom Cruise, which is a shame.
What, 4 foot? but yeah, sidestepping back to politics. I don't like the idea of multi-billionaires having so much power and influence over our political world. However, they always have and they always will. And right up until 5 minutes ago, it was always the lefties. It was always the people that hate us, wanted to destroy our way of life, wanted a new world order of global serfdom and kind of Marxism everywhere, but state capitalist Marxism. And actually, we have one now. We have one on our side, and he's not even properly on our side. He's not a Christian. He's not a conservative, but he does believe in free speech. So he aligns with us on quite a lot of stuff. And it's good that we finally have one in our corner. And so actually I'm pleased that Elon Musk is doing what he's doing. As much as I dislike the idea of billionaires having influence, I'm glad it's no longer George Soros and Bill Gates, who is hilarious that we see them meeting with our government, with the Labour government, saying, how can you let a billionaire have influence? Like, you are literally, the hypocrisy is... but yeah, the issues he's raising are so important, especially this child sexual abuse scandal is just, I can't see how Keir Starmer can last much longer as prime minister whilst coming out and like every time Elon Musk says something, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom feels like he has to come out and speak against him as if Elon Musk is the opposition. But when he does speak, he says, oh, you know, people are jumping on the bandwagon of the far right. First of all, what far right? Second of all, it's not a far right bandwagon to think you want to protect young, vulnerable girls. That's disgusting of you to imply it is.
I mean, it's so much has been said about it that I almost don't think anything that we can say about it is going to add to the conversation, other than to other than everything that's been, you know, we've all said. And but you know, I suppose gratitude for the fact that we can say this stuff. You know, remember a few years ago, Twitter was owned by someone else. You know, and it was a narrative defined by someone else. I suppose
well, look at Zuckerberg as well. On that note, he's come out this week. Oh well, I've always been for free speech. Like, you liar! You know my platform's going to be for free speech now. He's like, oh okay, well in this way now. He just cares about money, but that's fine as long as he's again aligning with us now and saying he's going to cut down all the censorship he's been doing and all the, you know, being in the pocket of the government and the three letter acronym units agencies for so long.
Can I ask you a selfish question about me? Okay, so I believe. And I would, you know, and if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. I believe I've been pretty consistent since the minute I spoke publicly about anything. I find the fact that people can just, here's someone talks about bandwagons, and it's a word that really gets to me, that people can just hop on a bandwagon, no problem. So it took me back to Question Time. As I reflected, and I was on the train over to Question Time, and I was, a lot of people were phoning me up because they were like, oh my God, he's going to go on Question Time and say something. And I remember Andrew Doyle calling me and he said, I was saying, I don't know what to say. And he said, just say what you think. And I was like, yeah, I know I'm going to say that. But he said, you know, don't forget that there are hundreds of thousands of young girls being raped in towns across this country. And cities across this country. And I was like, it's so true. And I went back to YouTube. I hadn't seen it for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. And it was almost the first point I made was the rape gangs.
Mm-hmm.
But what did they get upset about me for? Meghan fucking Markle.
I know. It's vapid, and isn't it?
I'm just like, so what I want to know is, like, I feel down about that. I feel like, hang on a minute. So Piers Morgan can suddenly, like, Jordan Peterson can breach. I mean, that was one of the best bits of, that's where Jordan Peterson is.
Oh,
I find it. Exactly. Jordan Peterson can preach at some fucking moron like Piers Morgan, who signs £50 million deals and all that sort of stuff. And I know it's not about money, but I just am like, I'm not deviated from my principles ever, neither of you, by the way. And that's, I think, why we are so able to be straight with each other and also why we trust each other and value each other so much. Like, is there should one be able to be frustrated about the fact that you don't get rewarded for being principled and consistent? You basically get, you know, I suppose the crucifixion is the ultimate one, isn't it? It's like, you know, you didn't get actually crucified for it. But I think
we have to check ourselves, right? We have to check our pride. And I'm guilty of this as well. This last week, I saw a mutual friend of ours, Alex Phillips, put out a tweet saying, I was the first UK broadcaster to discuss this topic. I was like, hey, wait a minute. I love you, Alex. You do great work. But I was certainly addressing this topic before you. And I haven't seen you do it on your public platform. Why have you not had it on Talk yet? Is there a reason for that? And my response was, well, thank you for doing what you've done. I also did this, but actually that's pride. I should not have done that. And actually, I think we have to check ourselves and say, it's not about us. It's not about who did it first. We've got to welcome these people. We can't be gatekeepers. We've got to make sure that everyone's waking up to this issue. Fantastic. We've been shouting about it for years, but you are welcome to join. And actually, good. We need more voices. We've got to be very careful, I think.
I understand.
And the bandwagon jumpers, they're lame, they're weak, they're cowardly. But as long as they're fighting the fight alongside us, good. Let's bring them along. It's like our old WhatsApp group, the one that I've left so many times that they keep inviting me back to. Like, most of the people in that group are bandwagon jumpers. They care about the same things we care about, but they'll only speak about it when it's part of the bandwagon, when it's okay to do so. And I find it weak, cowardly. I wouldn't trust them in the same way that I trust you in my life. I certainly wouldn't trust them with my life. But if they're willing to fight at the right time, good. give them the armory.
I think that's right. Just simplify it. I suppose I just head into a new year and I go, well, what does the end of this year look like for me? Like, what would I like to achieve? So I go, okay, well, I will write and I will try and put down, not try, it's not hard for me. I like writing, but I will express why it's important to stick to first principles on most things. And then it's interesting that you get, so rather than talk about the way that this obsession that Farage has with Tommy Robinson.
This is down to
you. I'm just like,
it's like, literally, don't speak about him.
I got a haircut today, just down the road. And this guy said to me something really, really interesting, other than the stuff that he was talking about. Children, it's like he said, people reveal themselves by what they're really obsessed by, what they talk about all the time. And then I thought, oh God, well, I really want to take a pop at Farage for being like a sort of fanboy of Tommy Robinson. But actually, the guy I'm really worried. I think the guy is probably heading towards being prime minister in 2029. And that worries me.
Which one?
Farage.
Or I'd rather Tommy. But I think you're right. It's a weird obsession.
We'd all rather Tommy.
But I just think he just has to not speak on Tommy at all. He doesn't need to bring him up.
Those lot let me go. The minute, this is why I hate these people. Not hate, but this is what I mean about feeling sorry for myself. Every time I point out a first principle to anybody that doesn't fit in with their sort of purity test, as you talked about at the beginning, they get upset. So when I go, I'm not going to come and talk at that rally because I've no idea who's talking at it. I've no idea who you are. I know Tommy. I'm going to visit him in prison next month. I know Tommy, and I've been in contact with Tommy throughout his imprisonment so far. But the little leeches behind him who make money off him, actually. So this is what really fucks me off. Sorry to get angry. But they called the right-wing establishment press. They've all come out to call him white supremacist, to call him whatever Farage called him, like a woman beater, all this stuff, assuming that just because he's in prison, like I see that as bullying. He's in prisons. so you can't defend himself. Those people are a little coterie and they're a group, right? Camilla Tominey. She wouldn't even respond to the fact that what Camilla Tominey said about Tommy Robinson, I was totally just, you know, I lost a defamation case for similar.
Yeah, call, absolutely.
You know, but she won't lose it because the establishment club are the establishment club. So I can deal with that. But what is so dreadful is that those people behind Tommy are the ones that are making the money out of him, not him. So when they all go, you know, the right-wing press go, oh, he's just a grifter. That's all he is. And Farage, you know, goes, he's a grifter. It's like, it's not him that's grifting. It's the very people I refuse to stand on stage with who call themselves patriots, who run all of the money, who run all of the background. And I don't have any faith in them.
Even if he was making money from it, he's made a lot of sacrifices. You know, how many times has he been in prison for the truth? And people are like, oh, it's for contempt of court. What do you think the contempt of court was? It was for speaking the truth that the courts didn't want released. And the way he's been treated isn't the way you treat someone who's guilty of contempt of court anyway. You don't put them in max security prisons and put them in solitary confinement. Look, open your eyes. But even if Tommy was making a lot of money, so what? He's doing it for a good cause. Like, I don't understand the whole grifter thing. It's ridiculous. People like Farage, who use that term, he's the one who's making a lot of money. And what has he ever sacrificed? People say, yeah, he got us Brexit. He helped with Brexit. He nearly helped destroy Brexit a couple of times, but he helped with Brexit absolutely over the years. But only when it ever helped him. He's never, ever done anything that hasn't aligned with his bank account.
Never. Never has he done anything that has an alignment with this bank account. And that is exactly right. And that's where I don't know how much I can say about that. I've been, you know,
I just want to specify that he doesn't have to support Tommy Robinson, just has to stop backbiting against him. It's that simple. Every time he says something bad about Tommy, he's bad mouthing and stabbing every single common Englishman in the country. We all feel it. Every time he says Tommy Robinson's a far right thug, we think, oh, am I a far right thug too then? He doesn't get it.
So can I ask a question? We saw in that one week where Farage decided to be very mean to Tommy, again, unprovoked, which I thought was strange. Oh, following on from Elon's tweet saying he's not up to it. I like to claim a small amount of credit for that, having spoken to, anyway. And you see Julia Hartley-Brewer, Camilla Tommy, Farage, Tim Montgomery.
Oh, yeah, he went for me as well, Tim. I don't know what his problem is lately.
And you and me. Oh, my. Like, do they all have a WhatsApp group and go, you know, I mean, does it work like that? Like, when you were talking about, you know, they just go, we've got to get behind Nigel here and say that he's the best.
Yeah, for some of them, they've thrown their lot in with Nigel Farage, and we're seeing this with quite a lot of mainstream people now. They're throwing their lot in thinking, actually, the Conservatives aren't going to win next time around. Farage has a better chance. They want to back the winning horse, essentially. And now that they've thrown their lot in, especially people like Monty, they have to validate that judgment call. And so anyone that attacks the Reform platform or Nigel Farage's horrible policies or statements has to be attacked personally. We all have to be discredited, because otherwise they are discredited by default. That's all they do. They protect their image.
In showbiz, they used to call it positioning. Right. So what you would do, they used a military, I think I might have told you this before, all the audience before, but it's a military thing. It's like you stand just far enough away from hand grenade that if it blows up, you don't get hit by any shrapnel. And you stand just close enough to look like a hero if you survive. And I agree, there was this whole sort of defection to Reform. And the only person, God bless, who's been keeping Reform on CPR has been Rupert Lowe, because he's actually a sound guy. He is a first principles human. While the rest of them have gone out their way to slag everyone off. I have been pretty vocal in my... I know you don't agree with me on this, but I'm going to say it again. I do think Emmy Badenoch thought very carefully about the amendment to the
child thing. Yeah.
And what she thought to herself was, instead of being a reactionary little tosser like Farage, and you know, there are no other brains in Reform other than Rupert Lowe, but instead, and for Farage to go, I mean, train me up, see Bonga, for him to go, he's violence against women. I'm like, one of your own MPs has been convicted of violence against women. You're about to invite, anyway. Is that she was clever, and she went, okay, let's see how far the ideology goes.
No.
How far does it go? Will you all vote against an inquiry into? I love watching Indian crawl phones call. It's poor old him. You can go on that bed, love.
Okay.
I
mean, she's made some good moves. That was a good move. I mean,
think she's sound.
When she Farage said, on Twitter, that wasn't wise. But she made the mistake that Farage is making in attacking Tommy.
I thought that was wise. I thought that was wise.
Boxing Day tweet was awful. She didn't need to be tweeting about stuff on Boxing Day that she couldn't validate or verify. That was a mistake.
I might be responsible for some of
that.
My view is that it was a really good idea, because what it did is was shown them up to be so thin-skinned and entitled. And, you know, I may or may not have said to somebody, why don't you publish, if it's a lie, I tweeted something saying, whatever you think, this huge growth in support for Reform is, you know, worth noting. And then I received from a very angry senior Tory, this is a lie.
And you and I can call it a lie. But if the leader of the Conservative Party wants to call it a lie, she has to make darn sure she can prove that it's a lie.
So I said to this senior Tory who came straight to me, I don't know why they give a little Batman popping around in the background. Also, I quite like the fact that he's being, you know, I responded and I said, well, if it's all a lie and your figures, their message to me was, You have no idea how huge the Conservative membership has been since the general. And I said, well, then publish your figures. If Farage is lying, publish your figures.
Yeah.
But instead, what Kemi did was she went, he's lying, but she didn't publish her figures. Because, you know, people walking around with phones, like we've got 70, I think it's just under 70,000 members. But I don't call them members. I call them like registered supporters, but what they are. I don't walk around like with my phone going like this. We've reached 80,000.
Right.
You know, it's pathetic. But I thought what she did was actually, even though I agree with you, the tactic was wrong, I thought what she did was really good, which was she exposed these people for the thin-skinned, entitled people that they are. And I genuinely don't want a country run by Nigel Farage. I would loathe, if Nigel Farage is anywhere near power in this country, I'm leaving. I'm absolutely leaving Great Britain. I would much rather, we are a multiracial country. We are unfortunately a multicultural country, but we can take that culture back. That is possible. But I do not want to live in a British boys club. With thickos like Tice sitting in seats. I know there are a lot of thickos in Parliament, like Nadia Whittam and various. I'm going to get in trouble for this, aren't I? But I don't want to live in that country either. I want to live in a multiracial democracy where free speech is the most important thing, and the second most important thing is cancel culture is fucked. And Farage is the absolute epitome of cancel culture. I don't know anyone on our side of the argument who practices it more than him. So I abhor, not him as a person, but I abhor his ideology, which is totally pro-cancel culture, and he loathes free speech unless it comes from Nigel Farage's mouth. And therefore, all you're doing is just swapping Keir Starmer, who's a weak, limp-wristed, cover-up, pedophile grooming gang man or child rape gang man for a right-wing version of a guy that never quite got accepted at school. And I don't want to live in either country. I don't.
And I know a country that has a First Amendment that gives you freedom of speech and freedom of worship, and a Second Amendment that gives you the right to bear arms too.
Well, in the summer this year, I'm getting married to an American citizen. So, yeah.
I hear that. It's good news.
I don't want to live in Nigel Farage's Britain, and I don't want to live in Keir Starmer's Britain. I want to live in a Britain where it's not about, obviously it's about political parties, but I want to live in a country where it's first principles, where you go, we need a written constitution. We do. We need a Bill of Rights and a written constitution, or we are fucked. We are fucked without it, because the more and more I look into Islam, and the more and more I look into the way that Islam uses wokery to increase its own finances through zakat and stuff like this, through this, we are paying for our own destruction. It's driving me insane. The minute, you know, I don't want to live in Britain. If Britain is lost to the Muslims, I want out as soon as possible. I want out. I don't want to, I'll stand and fight for it for another few years. But if it's going to be taken over by Muslims and the Conservatives, who are the only alternative, there, you know, Nigel Farage is not Donald Trump. He's not.
No.
He doesn't have his courage. He doesn't have his power. He doesn't have his intellect, and he doesn't have his ability. He doesn't. And I don't want to live in a country that Farage is in charge of. I don't, and I won't. That's just me. Rant over.
No, it's fine. I just had my common sense crusade, and I was just talking about the fact that the biggest thing that we're calling for right now as Britons is a public inquiry into the grooming gang scandal, the Pakistani Muslim rape gangs. A public inquiry. Right, so we're going to spend the next few years fighting to get an inquiry, and then we'll have a few years where they do the inquiry. Then we'll have a couple of years where they discuss what's going to change. Right now, Pakistani Muslim men are still raping young, white, working class British girls.
Today. It's
still
happening. Today.
Yeah, right now, up and down the country. Now. Even Jess Phillips admits this. And so this is happening under a Labour government, but it's been happening under a Conservative government and a coalition Lib Dem government for the last 14 years as well. So the Labour Conservative Uni Party isn't going to change anything. The country is being literally raped, and our establishment will do nothing about it. And we will do nothing about it. As Britons, we say, oh, give us an inquiry. Yeah, to what end? brilliant. Eventually, we'll sign enough petitions that they'll say, yes, this is happening. And this is the number of which it's happening. How does that help these survivors? How does it help save our country? It doesn't. Unfortunately, there is no democratic, there's no political answer to the situation we're in. Either we have a spiritual revival in which the country turns to Christ, or we have violence. We have civil war and revolution. I can't see any other alternative.
I agree. I don't think there's any other alternative. I can't see a way out of it. I literally can't see a way out of it. But what I do know is I don't want the embers of my country to be argued over by mediocre men. So that's what we've got right now. I would rather spend all of my energy encouraging the oldest political party in Britain to grow a fucking pair of balls, and the leader of that party, who I know within herself has the courage. I know she does. She has the courage to lift us out of this. I know she does. Whether she can do it, that's a whole different ballgame, you know, against all the establishment and against her own party who are trying to destroy. But all she has to do is say, there is no cancel culture in this country. There is free speech for everyone in this country. We will not operate diversity, equity, inclusion in this country. She's very good on the culture. And I will put the last remaining apples that I have in this basket of mine behind Kemi, because I don't want to be run by Farage. I know what Farage is like. I've spent time with him, and I know what Tice is like. I've spent time with them, and maybe within the ranks and within the hidden ranks of reform, or those that are drawn to politics, young people who are drawn to politics, that's great. But seeing as they've cancelled you, me, Carl, Tommy, everyone, Maya, anyone who's got a brain and who actually thinks about this stuff and knows about it, I think reform are a dead duck. And I think that the sooner that they're out the way,
I agree, but the Conservatives are no better. The Conservatives have also cancelled us.
They have.
I haven't been invited back into the Conservative Party with the new leadership. I have been unfollowed by the new leadership. Make of it what you will. I haven't badmouthed the new leadership. I haven't badmouthed the party. But, you know, none of these are the answer. These people are not the answer. None of them are. Well,
I'll tell you why they don't like you. Because the pop that they take at you is the same pop as Monty takes you, which is you're a fake vicar. So what they're trying to do is like, you're not a real vicar. Same thing the lefties do. Same thing those little child mutilation cult assholes do. Is they try and delegitimize priests. It's like the people in Parliament yesterday turning around going, the reason why I'm voting against this inquiry into child rape gangs is because I want to protect the children. It's like, the double stick is beyond.
But to be fair, a lot of them are like that because they don't understand the faith. I don't think Kemi Badenoch is like that. Like you, I know her personally. I think she fought for me on my battle against the CAB, and she appreciates my role, but she doesn't have a faith herself. And that's what I'm praying for. We need a leader who has the faith, because it's not enough to be anti-woke and pro-DEI. They've got to be for a Christian country.
You're right. And I did read that over the period. I was looking
at it. And again, that was a non-article. She didn't need to say anything. Like, Farage doesn't need to speak about Tommy. If Kemi doesn't believe in God, she doesn't have to say anything. But to come out and say, I no longer believe in God, it's like, what are you doing, love?
That was stupid. I don't know why one would ever say that. But we've discussed that. But I think you're absolutely right that you cannot take on somebody to follow who is anti something. I would posit that for the secular people in this country, it's not a necessity that they are a Christian. I would say absolutely they would have to be a Christian, and not only a Christian, but a very devout Christian.
It's not a necessity for the secularists, I think they would appreciate it. If we had a candidate who say, I'm fighting for Christian Britain, I'm fighting for our Christian values, which are British values. It's not this fluffy equality under law and tolerance of all faiths and non-British values are Christian values. I'm fighting for that. Even the secularists would say, I understand what that means. I know what that means. I've seen that. I want that. Good. I don't have to follow the faith, but I understand what the faith will bring this country. I think we'd have a unity.
Yeah, but you're also someone who says that your job is, like you said to me in conversations before, you said, you know, the Pope's job is to bring people to Christ, or sorry, Welby's job is to bring people to Christ, not to like have a fucking view on altars and trans flags. And so your job is the same, right?
Yeah.
Your job is to bring souls to Christ. That's what you want to do. And that's what your calling is. And that's what you're here on earth to do. I just look at the whole panoply of it and I just go, there isn't a single person that I really like Rupert Lowe. I really do, because I think, you know, he just says what I was saying 5 years ago, which is fine. Ooh. But I don't, and I also think you'd probably be a really lovely prime minister in a way. I think you'd be really calm and be like, no, I think this is wrong and thank you very much for objecting, but this, he'd be great. He's wonderful. And if you asked me to weigh the scales between Kemi and Rupert Lowe, I would struggle. But if you asked me to weigh the scales between Kemi and Nigel Farage, I had no problem on which side I would go down on that one. Because she's 41 or 42 years old, right? I'm 46 years old. She's in charge of the Conservative Party. She was the only person in Parliament who called these things child rape gangs. She called them it yesterday. She's growing in confidence. That's what I think. And I maybe it's my actor's instinct, and maybe it's her false dawn, and maybe it's a hope, and maybe it's hope that we'll never prove to be right, and maybe I can escape this hellhole that this country has become. But I have somewhere deep in my instinct tells me that there's a brave human in there, and sometimes brave humans need to be supported and encouraged and drawn out, and you know, they don't need to be like, how dare you stitch me like that? I'm in charge of this, and you know, it's like when Tice tweets at people and goes, oh, do grow up. It's like, how fucking dare you speak to normal people who have no voice like that? How dare you speak to them like that? Do grow up. It's like, just because daddy's not around wanking millions of pounds over you. Sorry, I'm being bad now. Sorry, Calv.
But no, I mean, it's fine to have hope and faith in these people in some degree, but I have no hope and faith in any politician at all whatsoever.
Yeah, politics is a dirty game.
Yeah.
I want one person to come forward who is genuine. And I don't mind if they, I want a Trump. I don't mind if they swear. I don't mind if they call Roseanne Barr fat, not Roseanne Barr. Who's he called fat?
Well, yeah, wasn't it?
It was the girl who was also famous at the same time. I don't mind if people are coarse. I don't mind any of it. I just want someone genuine who I know will fight for me. And the whole idea of a prime minister and a cabinet is Rosie O'Donnell, there you are. but the whole idea of a prime minister and a cabinet is that the prime minister, like Nixon, did you hear the thing about Nixon? Got shit faced one night and he went, I am the only person, this is true, by the way, because it's true constitutionally in America. The president is the only person that can launch a nuclear attack. Nobody else can do it. So Nixon got drunk one night and went, I can kill everyone if I want. And Kissinger went, what? And he literally had to go and phone people around the world to say, it's not happening. Don't worry about it. So if you think about the power that these people have and the power that they seek and the cradle of power that they seek, the reason why Nixon, who was, I mean, Watergate looks like rubbish compared to January the 6th and all the other stuff. I mean, it was just another confected ridiculousness. Nixon was a good president. Reagan was a good president. I want a passionately patriotic leader of this country and a passionately authentic leader of this country. And I want the cabinet and the people around them to moderate their madnesses. That's what I want. I think is what I said in the long and roundabout way.
It's fair.
What do you want for this week and this year, Cal? What are you aiming for? I mean, not New Year's resolutions, but like, what's your, what do you think? Okay, here's a question for you. Do you think there's going to be a major terrorist attack before, on, or during the inauguration?
I hope not, because I'll be there. But I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be the highlight of my January, I think. So, yeah, in terms of what I'm looking forward to.
You're going to the inauguration?
Yeah.
Are you going to dance for Trumpy on the stage?
Are you coming out?
What date is it? 20th?
20th.
No. Oh, God. I've got so much traveling to do this month.
Someone sent me a lovely picture for you, a picture of a fox with a card.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
You need to get yourself a P.O. box or something, make it easier for people to contact you.
No, you're my P.O. box, bitch. Maybe I should come for the inauguration. When is the 20th? Okay.
Yeah. That'd be good
fun. It would be a really good one. Hang on. 20th.
This is a historic event, isn't it?
Okay, I've got to go to the inauguration. Got to. Then I've got to fly out on the Thursday. So you flying on there?
I'm flying out after church on Sunday the 19th. Then the inauguration is on Monday the 20th. And I'm going to hang around.
Can I be your like plus one or something?
Let me see what I can work out for you. We'll sort something out.
Will you ever worried about it? Because then when you just turn up at the inauguration, there's like 100,000 people. I'm like, hey, Cal. And you're like, sorry, mate. You can see me up on the stage. I'm the one doing like, I'm doing the Trump dance with Donald. I'm sorry, I can't get you past Scott. I can't get you through the Secret Service. Oh, dude, it's so good to be back for the new year.
Isn't it, Joss? But we need to get the cigars back. I put those photos up last night that I just found from a random time when we were recording in the studio. It's so nice sitting there, chilling out with the cigars while we have a chat. We need to bring that back somehow.
Well, I will.
And we get a little extractor for this office.
Yeah, when I'm back in the studio, I'll get it. But also, I can't afford. The problem is with me when I get cigars is I like a Trinidad Colonialis, which is about 62 quid. And I can't afford that because if I have one with you talking now, guaranteed that in an hour I'll be sparking up. I would have finished it by now because I smoke them like a train, but I would have been sparking up another one in an hour. And that's like 100 and whatever. I don't do maths, 104 quid a day, 700 quid a week. So I don't love it. I don't have.
I had cigars with Brandon Tatum at this place called Ambassador Cigars in Arizona. And I met this guy called Vartan who runs it. And he knows everything about cigars. And he found these really... He said, forget your Cohiba Bahiques. I've got something for you that's like $20 and even better. And you'll love it.
Yeah.
I think you should try some of these.
Well, listen, I've smoked some not expensive cigars that are really, really nice. You don't need to spend a shit ton of money on cigars. Yeah. It's like wine. It's snobbery. You don't need it.
It's a pipe.
Well, yeah. I don't know.
You roll ups with your cigarettes. What's the difference with a pipe? You shove your tobacco in and smoke it.
Maybe if I get a gift from a friend of mine.
I've already given you one. You've got one somewhere.
Who's going to bless our wedding?
Am I going to bless your wedding?
You damn right you are. I mean, I can't get an annulment. It would really annoy the former. I love you, man.
Love
it's
you
so
too, brother.
To see you. I actually will look into coming. If you can say to me, I mean, I imagine every hotel in the world is, you know,
the hotels are blooming expensive. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, look, if there's an easy way of doing it, you can say, listen, I can get you in.
I'm going to make a call after this, and I'll speak to his team and see what we can sort out. And then,
all right,
I'll get back to you.
Sound. Yeah. Okay. Well, this has been another episode of Everyone Listening to Lawrence and Calvin Catch Up Every Week.
Thank you for joining us.
And say shit that we would say if we were sat around a table. Literally, we've gone full uncensored now, haven't we?
Yeah.
We don't even bother with the whole, like, this is, if you turned up at the house and we were sat next to each other, this is the conversation we would have had.
It'd be exactly this, but with smoking and dogs. That's the only difference.
Smoking and dogs. And yeah, anyway, I love you, man, and it's so good to see you. And have a conversation, let me know.
And thank you all for watching. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
God bless you. And also, wait, this year, we've got to do our Fox and Father Follows.
Okay.
And You know what's important this year?
Oh, yeah. What's always important?
I did promise you that we had a new sponsor.
Yes.
Sponsoring the Fox and Files show, because apparently this company, Gold Bullion Partners, and a few of our listeners have decided that while being faced with the tyranny of potential digital IDs and CBDCs and what where they can keep their money safely without it being removed from the government, they've come up with the idea of gold. Well, this is actually silver.
Well, I've got some gold.
I've got some gold too.
My gold's a little one. So the problem is your money isn't yours if it's in the bank, and you can't rely on it. You can't trust the banks. So we've got to invest in assets.
No capital gains tax.
That's interesting.
No capital gains tax.
I've got a lot of friends who are buying gold and silver, actually.
Yeah. Non-traceable. I'm buying silver because gold's a bit up there for me at the moment. I could probably get one of these. But this is legal tender.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You could.
I wouldn't want to spend it, though.
No, I'm just saying.
Well, a lot of places aren't accepting legal tender anymore. And that's part of the problem. That the more we go to a cashless society, the more the government can control everything that we do. They can see every penny we spend. They can control where we spend it. That's not a good thing.
But gold and silver are holding their values beautifully in Absolutely. The world. And in times of trouble, people tend to lean and go towards gold and silver. So, you know, Gold Bullion Partners, guys, the link will be in the show notes. And if you so feel that you want to...
Absolutely. Do your own research, look into it.
Yeah. And we will carry on buying it ourselves, won't we?
Yeah, we will.
Take back control of your money. Fox and Father follows, Calvin.
Yes, Calvin. Mine is Samantha Smith, who is on Twitter at Samantha Taghoy. Samantha is a courageous individual who's been a commentator on a number of issues across the political spectrum. However, she was also a survivor of child sexual abuse and has somehow found the courage to speak about that publicly. And of course, at this time when it's the topic of on everyone's lips, she's been making her opinion heard and making her voice heard. And it's very powerful, actually. Her testimony is very powerful. And I'm very thankful for that. She's taken a bit of hit from our side over the last few days, which I think was unjustified. But give her all the support you can. It's at Samantha Taghoy.
Good. That was youthful naivety. And she's great. She's very good at chronicling the, what she's been through and what the others have been through is beggar's belief. And absolutely, I endorse that message. My Fox and Father is Matt Hayes. Now, for any of you guys who, like me, were born and raised in a time where you didn't have a phone to keep you interested, and you had to actually do something and develop a hobby, I developed the hobby of fishing. And I watched a guy called Don Wilson, who we might know, who made Go Fishing with John Wilson. And then Tucci, what was he called? Cyril Shacke. Then we watched Cyril Shacke. And then, the king of them all now, who is a beautiful man, is Matt Hayes.
Oh, cool.
Who does the Great Rod Race. And his Twitter handle is at Matt MATTHAYES Fish on Twitter. And he moved his entire life to the Gala River in Norway and is determined to protect the habitat for the wild salmon that come into Norwegian rivers, fjords and rivers to breed. He's an absolute legend. His family is an absolute legend. Anyone who's into fishing or course fishing will know of him and the Duke.
Is he one of the people you went fishing with?
Yeah. And it is like, sometimes when I bemoan the fact that I do this stupid thing that I do for a living, I think I got to meet a true hero. So Matt Hayes Fish is my Fox and Father follows. And with that,
you know I live in like the fishing capital of the States. So when you and Eugene come over, we'll have to go salmon fishing in the Great Lakes and you can teach me how to fish properly.
Absolutely. Lead us out with a little prayer, Father, I think. We're going to end with a prayer this year.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be among us and remain with us always. Amen.
Amen. Love you, brother.
You too. Take care.